It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. I really hope you're all enjoying summer wherever you are. I can't tell you how nice it is to finally be having some nice warm days that do not involve snow or rain, although we are having some pretty awesome thunderstorms some evenings. And I'm pretty excited because as I'm recording this, I'm looking forward to seeing Wiley Peterson tomorrow. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that Wiley has been on the podcast before. He was also part of the Cowboy Champion Summit, and he's a good friend of mine. He's going to be coming to the town right next to where I live and doing a little clinic on his bull trainer for some bull riders over there. So I am planning to go meet up with the bull rider coach himself and maybe get a little instruction on the pro bull trainer myself. I have never ridden anything closely resembling a bull, unless you count like the Holstein calves that we used to ride when we were kids. I don't know if that really counts though, because my dad would hold us on and run around the corral with us. And I've never ridden a mechanical bull because I never wanted to be one of those girls in the bar that rides a mechanical bull just to get attention from the opposite sex. But I'm hoping that Wiley tomorrow can give me some actual real pointers on how to ride a bull on his trainer. So I'm looking forward to that and hopefully getting a video up for you guys to check out. Now I'm really excited to introduce you to today's guest. You may recall that a few weeks ago I had Stephen Kayla on the show to talk about cowboy boots. He's the brand manager for Olathe Boot Company. And I thought in continuing down that road, it would be really fun to have somebody on to talk about cowboy hats, because I know a lot of you enjoyed the episode about the boots. And so I have today a cowboy hat expert, and that is Keith Mundy, who is the president of American Hat Company. Keith and I met several years ago, kind of in an odd way, which we talk about in the introduction of the podcast. So be looking forward to that. And I'm just such a fan of American Hat Company, what it stands for, its values. And Keith is such a great representative for them. I'm really excited to have him on the show today to talk all about cowboy hats. So without further ado, let's jump right into my interview with Keith Mundy. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Keith. I'm really excited to have you.
Well, thanks. It's my pleasure.
You know, I wanted to kind of start off and tell people the story of how we originally met. And it was actually, I think, in 2008, I applied for a job with Rocky Mountain Clothing, Cinch Jeans, if anybody doesn't know what that is. And you were the vice president there at the time. And I flew out to Denver and interviewed with you. And I didn't actually end up getting the job, but it was so great to meet you. And we've just kind of stayed in touch over the years. So it's really exciting to have you on the show today. And now I get to interview you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. And obviously we missed the boat. We failed to hire the right person on that one.
Well, that's okay, because you know, I think my life would have gone in a little different direction if I had actually ended up moving to Denver. So
that's true.
I'm not complaining. I think it was for the best, and you're not there anymore, anyways. So
no, and that is actually, you know, been a great thing. I mean, anytime you go through a change like that, there's a moment in your life where you think, oh, now what? You know, and my grandfather used to tell me there's three kinds of people in the world: make it happen, wait for it to happen, or wonder what just happened. And for that moment, I was caught in that category. What in the world just happened? But God has a way of working things out for the best. So I'm now at American Hat Company and couldn't imagine being in a better place. So
yeah, it seems like that you've kind of found your home there.
So. Yes, exactly.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into this business? I mean, what's your background?
Sure, and that's the funny story. Nobody really asked that question, but really the major part of my, for 17 years, I had a company in Southern California, and we were a metal fireplace subcontractor. So we were the largest subcontractor of metal fireplaces in the nation. And during the building boom in Southern California, in Orange County and Laguna, Cota de Casa, and then out in Palm Springs and La Quinta and all that area, we're doing 1,900 to 2,000 fireplaces a month and had a bunch of guys working and doing all that. Anyway, that business is always susceptible to booms and busts. So it felt like, you know, 17 years, my opportunity came to sell that company. And we did. I had a couple of partners, but we did. And I took a couple of years off and decided I need to get my kids. I had young kids and I wanted to get them out of Southern California. And so moved to Boise, Idaho. And I thought, I'm just going to throw myself in the path of progress. And, you know, something will come. I had some time to find something. Anyway, long story short, did a couple things in between there. And an opportunity came along with Rocky Mountain Clothing Company to be a rep for them in the Pacific Northwest. And I thought, you know, that really sounds like kind of a fun deal. And it was. It was a great, it was a wonderful thing. I mean, it ended up after I'd been there for 3 or 4 years, ended up my wife and I traveling in a diesel pusher motorhome, and we would go out on the road for 6 to 8 weeks once our kids had graduated high school. My wife and I would make a trip and travel the Pacific Northwest and go visit friends, and they would buy the things that we were carrying. So it worked out really great.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it was funny, you know, we'd end up in these RV parks, and obviously there were older couples in there, and at the time we were fairly young or younger, and, you know, my wife would take her little Cocker Spaniel and go for a walk, and I would work on orders, and we'd have the awning out and start to barbecue or whatever, and they'd go, what do you guys do? How does this work? And so once we told them what we did, a lot of them would go, well, how do I get that? I want to do that, you know, and I want to travel and still be able to make money. So it was kind of like, you know, almost like being retired, but you had to work. I mean, you just had to go see, you had to drive and go, you know, see customers, but it was wonderful. We had a great time.
Yeah, that sounds like a great time. Now, did you always have a background in horses and that kind of thing too?
Mostly my grandfather mainly had a ranch in the Chino Hills. And so that's kind of, I grew up when I was young around that. And then in my middle years, my high school years, I veered away from it because I played baseball. And so all of my focus then ended up being on baseball, basketball, and football. And then even later in high school, my junior and senior year, I didn't play basketball or football. I just focused on baseball. So that was kind of my thing that was supposedly had a future in the world of baseball. But like anything, you know, that I hurt my arm. I got drafted, but then hurt my arm. And so, you know, it all worked out for the best.
Well, I'm really interested to talk about hats, obviously. That's why we're here today. And I think that people have a lot of questions about hats, because it's not always easy to learn this information. And it seems like a lot of companies do things a little bit differently. So just to start off, I would love to talk about quality and kind of like the hat making process, what goes into it, like how do you tell a good one from a not so good one and that kind of thing.
Well, if you're talking about felt hats, so we'll start there. Felt hats, you know, there used to be the X is in the hat. So a 10X hat meant that it was 10% beaver. The rest of it was rabbit or hare, H-A-R-E, mm-hmm. as a filler. And sometimes even they put wool in there. The more wool, the lesser the quality. Mm-hmm. And the more beaver, the better the quality. So typically 100X hat meant that it was 100% beaver. But that all got blown out of the water. There is no government standard. There's no agency that regulates any of that. So what ended up happening, you know, just like anything, people started trying to put more X's in the hats. So they'd call it 100X hat, but it might be 50% or might even be 20% beaver and the rest of it other things. So the X thing got blown out of the water. And that's the reason why Keith Maddox bought American Hat Company, because he was frustrated with the quality of hats that were available on the market. And he said, you know what, I'm going to buy a hat company. I'm going to make good hats. And he felt like there was a need for that. So
how do the X's work then with American Hat Company? Does it kind of follow that standard, or does everybody still have X's?
Everybody still uses X's.
Okay.
But as an example, you know, because the X thing is so blown out of the water, the lowest that we make is a 6X. That's our bottom of the line hat. You know, other people will make 2Xs and 3Xs and 1Xs, but the lowest that we'll go is a 6X. But then the highest that we go is actually a 1000X. And so how do you say, well, that's not 1000% beaver? But what it is that when we compared our 1000X hat against somebody else's supposedly 100X hat, we felt ours was 10 times better. And the only way that you can tell the quality of the hat, and we do this with everybody that comes to us to buy a hat, we say, feel it. Here's how to check a hat. When a hatter walks into a hat factory, they feel things. They don't forget the X's. They just start feeling it. And you'll feel the imperfections. You'll feel the highs and lows. You'll feel the waves in the body. So we teach everybody, feel it, and you'll feel the finished, and you'll know what you want to put on your head. And so our 1000X is actually belly beaver and mink mixed together. It's 100% belly beaver and mink. And so if you look at a beaver pelt, the back hair on a beaver is the coarse hair. The belly hair is that real soft tufted hair. And so our 1000X is, again, belly beaver and mink. And then our 500X, which is the next step down, is pure belly beaver. So then when you get to our 200X, that's got belly and back, now it's a mixture. But when you compare, you know, and so what we've done is we just say, feel it. You know, you tell me which one you want to put on your head. So that's how American Hat has, that's how we sell when we are talking to people about the quality of hats. They'll ask, how much beaver's in this? And I said, you know, we can't really tell you, but get your hands on them and feel them. So
how does that quality and the type of fur that goes into it, how does that translate into like how the hat is going to hold up over time with use?
Yeah, well, the more beaver, the better the hat. The beaver hair is obviously, one of the neat things about beaver hair is that as it gets hot and cold, it actually weaves together. And so it's almost like the hair, and that's the felting process. The hair almost has little microscopic barbs on it. So it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. When we plate a hat, meaning we're taking this raw body and putting it between two metal plates, almost ironing it, we don't, everybody else has got timers on their plating machines. They hit a timer, and then when it's done, they take it out. We don't do that. When we plate it, we put the two plates down, and then we keep lifting it up and checking it. And when the hat stops moving and shrinking, that's when we take it out. And then the process of finishing. So then you sand on the hat to get that finish. And, you know, we've got a guy that's been working for us for 47 years that is a, yeah, he's just, there's nobody better in the business. And he can put a finish on a felt hat that nobody can match. And so when you feel our 1000X, 500X, or 200X, most people, you know, when I hand them that hat and I said, just feel it and see what you think. And they go, wow, never in my life have I ever felt anything or a hat that felt, that feels that good. So that's the rewarding part about it.
Yeah.
For me, at the end of the day, this hat means something. It stands for something. You know, it stands for all of the great iconic American cowboys that have gone before us. The, you know, if even if you talk about the movie stars, the John Waynes and the, you know, the Audie Murphys and the, you know, all of those guys, the Tom Mixes. And then when you talk about the rodeo stars, the Larry Mahans of the world, you know, the Lane Frosts of the world, those people that kind of are bigger than life, that American cowboy, this is their symbol. It's the thing that stands for. When you walk through a front doors of an elementary school, the boots don't make you a cowboy. The jeans don't make you a cowboy. The belt, nor the buckle, nor the shirt. It's the hat that makes you a cowboy.
Yeah.
To the elementary school kids.
Right, right, for sure. Now, I want to get into a little bit more on that as we go along. But before we move past this quality part, can we talk about straw hats a little bit? Because I have no idea about gauging quality on a straw hat.
About 4 years ago when I came to work for American Hat Company, I didn't either. All of our straw hats are hand woven. And when you look at the detail of the weaving and the mixtures of the colors, you know, I look at that and I think, are you kidding me? They're works of art. Mm. And so when you compare one of ours, we get what's called fancy vents, or we use multicolors straw. When you compare that against a plain white hat that was made on a loom that then has three eyelets in the side for ventilation, you know, and somebody says, well, I can buy that hat for $69 and your hat's $120. And you say, well, yeah, look at the difference. That one's made on a loom. Was made not here in America. And then this one here is hand woven and then made into a hat right here in Bowie, Texas. So big difference. In terms of quality, there's different straws as well. So you can use Shantung's, there's Sisal, there's jute, and there's also poly rope. The poly rope is a big, thicker material, and it's used in our hats that most of the cowboys in West Texas are wearing because it's really durable. Hmm. A Shantung is a finer weave. And then you get into the Monte Cristi's, and they're real super fine weaves. But they're very expensive. A Monte Cristi straw hat would cost you, $500 or more.
Wow. Well, I definitely can tell when I see an American straw hat. I mean, there's definitely a signature look to your straw hats.
Yes, there is. One of the rules of thumb, Keith Maddox and I are very traditional. And so one of the rules of thumb, and when we look at new straws, if we hate it, if it's something we would never wear, it's probably going to be pretty good. So yeah, that's kind of our rule of thumb. And so the criteria that we look for three things. We look for a trendsetter, something that's going to be latest and greatest, really crazy, that the young rodeo high school kid wants to wear. And that's the bull rider who's not afraid of anything. He's saying, look at me. And then there's a trend adopter, and that's a style that's been out for just a little bit maybe, or a version of it. It's not too crazy, not too wild. And then the final being tried and true. That's more like Keith Maddox and myself. We're very tried and true.
Yeah. Well, and you said you kind of determine what's going to be a big hit by what you don't like. But how do you know, like, how far to take it? You know, how do you know, like, what's going to be a little bit too edgy and no one's going to want to buy it? Or is there anything that's like that?
We have pushed ourselves beyond our comfort level. And last year was our 100th anniversary. So I told Keith, I said, hey, what about like a red, white, and blue hat? And he said, oh, there's no way, can't do it. And so then I backed off of that. And I said, what about a blue and white? What about then a red and white, you know, that you could add some trim on? And he said, well, call, you know, so-and-so, and he might be able to help you. So we called a guy, and he said, you know, because we were worried about the straw bleeding when you try dyeing that straw, and then when they weave it, we could get it in. But then once we put it through our presses, once we lacquer it twice and then repress it again, would it bleed and come off? And so we had to go through several samples to make sure that we didn't have bleeding. There's a dip process. You can take a straw hat and get it made completely. And then it's like you're dipping it in this solution, and it's got a film floating on the top, and then that film adheres to your hat. Mm. But the problem with that, we tried that, and the problem with it is it comes off on your forehead, and when you get hot inside, it didn't work. And so, we're seeing some other people trying that, but we still see there's problems with that. So we're at this point, we're staying kind of with the straws and just pushing the limit on it. I mean, we got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. What are some of kind of the newer trends that you're seeing a lot of right now? I mean, you've got the Texas high school rodeo finals going on right now, right? And those are kind of, it's usually the kids that are sort of on the cutting edge of the new trends. So what's really popular right now?
Well, our red and white, our blue and white, and our red, white, and blue are very popular right now. Those are three hats that we bought limited quantities of because it was just so hard to get the material. And now we've had to go back and reorder what we ordered the first time. And so we're double what we thought we would be on those. And then actually some tall crowns and short brims. So you'll see a little bit of a kind of a throwback look. The Bangora. We've had a Bangora in our line. We were the ones that came up with that Bangora. And then, you know, then everybody's copied it and then made it in foreign countries and then brought it in here. So you can make them in Mexico and get them over here and, you know, for $15 or something. But it's not the same. It's not the same process. It's not the same straw. It's just an imitation. It looks a lot like our Bangora. But now we're seeing some of the kids going, hey, I want that old Bangora back and I want to, you know, get a shorter brim on it, as opposed to the brims were kind of getting bigger. They went from, you know, they used to be 3.5, 3.75, and then went to 4. 4 was standard for quite a while. Then it got to 4.25 being standard here for a little bit. Some guys are punchy and they like the 4.5, some 5s. But now we're kind of seeing some of these kids are going back down. So they're wanting those smaller brims and a taller crown.
Well, I saw a picture on Facebook of Dale Brisby wearing a hat, an American hat, yes, at the booth. Was that similar to what you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. Yes. We're making a hat for him.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that's kind of an interesting story, but he's a really, really good guy.
He seems like a smart guy actually to me.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He stands for all the right things. He's got good moral character. So, we like what he's doing and the kids like it. So
when I saw him wearing that hat, it did make me think a little bit about my dad and, you know, hats that he wore in the 70s, some old pictures that I've seen of him. So
I've got a picture on my buffet table of my grandfather with a 3.5-inch brim hat on.
Yep.
And, you know, tall crown. So a guy like that can, you know, bring stuff back and make things, you know, trends. I mean, it's just, you just got to watch what the cutting edge thing and stuff.
That is a very good point. If Dale Brisby's wearing that hat, then you know you're going to be selling a lot of them.
You might want to look out because here it comes.
That's very true. So, you know, something that has always been really intriguing to me about hats is what hats really say about a person's personality. And I mean, I feel like just kind of seeing somebody's hat can tell you a lot about them. And I'm just curious about what your opinion is on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could kind of look at a hat, you know, at a rodeo, you can look at a hat and go, is that guy from the timed event side or is he from the rough stock side? You know, that's in generality. I'm not saying every time. But then you can also look at hats and say, it'll tell you from what era you're from. Or you can look at a guy's hat and if you're Hispanic, you'll know from what part of Mexico you're from. Mm. Or even if you're American, the guy in Idaho out on the Owyhee River, you know, he's going to be wearing a flat brim and, you know, he's going to do his thing a little bit different, or Montana as opposed to a West Texas cowboy. Mm-hmm. They all have their own style. And so that's what's neat about the cowboy hat. And that's one of the reasons why American has stayed with that open crown concept, because we have a tendency to believe if you buy a hat that's been pressed in a machine in a factory somewhere, and there's thousands of them, and you put that on your head, well, now you got, you know, everybody else's hat on. And when you get an American hat and you have its shape, then you have your hat on.
So that's something that you guys do that's a little different than other companies, is you actually send those hats out unshaped?
Yeah, that's the large percentage of our business is unshaped, open crown and flat brim. Now, we can shape them, and we do hand shape hats at the factory for stores that say, you know, I just can't do that. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to learn how to do that. So then at that point, we'll hand shape them in the factory to their specifications, and then they can tweak them in the store. But we prefer, the Maddoxes actually own a store in Fort Worth in the Stockyards, and it's called the Best Hat Store. And we have three probably of the country's best hat shapers that work in that store. And people are just coming in going, hey, I want this hat and I want it shaped like this. And we just had the coaches from Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I saw those pictures.
Wolverines. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh and John Baxter and Tim DeVoe and Jim Minnick. They were all in, and then they had Zach, their media guy, was in there with them, and they all got hats, and they all shaped them different. Yeah, they wore them to a camp a football camp they did here in Texas. So they invited me out to the camp that afternoon.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I put on Michigan shorts and a Michigan T-shirt and my cowboy hat and went to a football camp.
Very cool.
Yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah, we actually have a big podcasting conference coming up in Fort Worth in July. So I might have to get some podcasters down there to the store and get some cowboy
Absolutely.
Hats.
Absolutely, yeah. Come by. We're in the Stockyards, so you can't miss it. We're on Main and 28th, and it's just a great little store. And the store, the business in that store, last year we're up about 40%. This year we're trending pretty close to the same. So it's been phenomenal. And we got three really good guys in there that you can just shape your head any way you want it.
And you probably get a lot of tourists and stuff that come in there and buy a hat as something to take home from the Stockyards, right?
A little bit, but not as much as you would think.
Hmm.
In the Stockyards down, there's lots of what I'll call carnival hats. And, you know, I said, if you want to buy a cheap hat, or if you're a retailer and you want to sell a cheap hat, I tell them all the time, you're going to be battling the guy at the carnival right between the Tilt-A-Whirl and the cotton candy, and you can't win that battle. So you better figure out how to sell a quality hat and, you know, there's make a reason for the guy to buy a hat. Mm-hmm. And when you tell the story about a hat, you know, I'm almost everybody's at a different place in their life, so everybody can afford something different. But, you know, I think the thing that one of my pet peeves is when I see somebody that is well put together, meaning their whole outfit. I saw a lady in Las Vegas and she had everything. I mean, she had the right boots, the right pants, her nails were done, her hair was done, jewelry, everything was perfect. The high dollar purse, all the stuff. And she bought a $120 wool hat and put it on her head. And I thought, I just shook my head and I went, oh my goodness, that poor lady. She has no idea what she just did. She just took away from everything that she's got going on. Mm-hmm. Well, she walked back to the booth and I was standing at somebody else's booth and she walked back to that booth. And at the same time, I was telling the owner of the booth, I said, man, you didn't do her any favors at all. I said, when she finds out what you put on her head, I said, she'll never buy anything from you again. He goes, that's all she wanted. You know, that wasn't, she don't, you know. So she came back and she said, hey, can you fix the side of this head? It's drooping a little bit. Well, he thought he's going to put me on the spot. And he said, hey, let me introduce you to this guy here who's the president of American Hat Company. And so I said, ma'am, I don't want to offend you, but I said, I got $130. I'll buy that hat if you won't wear it. And she said, well, why? And I go, listen, I said, I pay attention to things. I said, you got the right boots, the right jeans, the right belt, everything, you know. Obviously, you care about how you look. And that hat takes away from the way that you look. And she goes, well, what hat do I need? And so I said, well, the minimum I would start here. And I handed her a 40X hat, which is, you know, $480 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, feel this one and feel the one you just had on your head. She goes, oh, my gosh, what a difference. And she said, can you shape this one like that one? She goes, because I like that shape. I said, we can shape it however you want it. You know, we're only limited by your imagination there. And she said, okay, shape that hat up. And she goes, what happens with that one? Do I have to buy that one too? And I go, no. I said, if they don't want to take it back, I'll buy that hat. And she spent $480 on a nice hat and walked out of there and felt good about herself. And I think, you know, she probably went, holy cow, that could have been a disaster. But that's because the guys that were selling hats were short-sighted, or, you know, they just, you know, they're so used to selling cheap hats and easy, you know, that's easy.
They didn't know their customer in that situation.
Right. They weren't paying attention. And she, you know, she came in and said she wanted to get a cowboy hat. They were, well, here, try this one. Cause she's not going to go, oh my gosh, that's, you know, $500, mm-hmm. you know? And so they just, you know, sold her shirt, but they didn't do her any favors. Like I said, I would have given her the money not to wear the hat. You know, that's a pet peeve of mine. And I just, you know, wear the best, everybody's at a different place in life, but wear the best hat you can afford.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of interesting because I was having a conversation with a guy here in Montana that sells hats, and he shapes a lot of hats and goes to the NFR every year and does it down there. And I asked him what kind of hats he mostly sells, because where we live, it's a lot of fishermen, a lot of tourists in the summertime that come through. And he says, you know, people come in and they don't have very much confidence when it comes to buying a hat. Like, some people feel like they're being inauthentic if they aren't cowboys, if they don't maybe work on a ranch or something and they're buying a cowboy hat. So they're really conservative at first, with the kind of hat that they buy. And then maybe they'll come back next year and get a different one that's a little bit more Western. So I'm just, I'm curious if what your experience has been with that.
Well, I think that's true, you know, and I would say that the large portion of our customer base is somebody who lives the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to say, if you know and you love hats, you're probably wearing an American hat if you're a hat fan. But I think the thing that you got to remember is the cowboy hat is the most recognizable piece of apparel on the planet Earth. You get dropped anywhere in the planet with that cowboy hat on, somebody's going to say eventually and say, are you a cowboy? maybe not in English, but you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, wear the best one that you can afford. And for me, I don't think of you as not authentic if you don't live on a ranch. Mm-hmm. My criteria, if you live the Western lifestyle, wear a hat, or if you love the Western lifestyle, wear a hat. I don't care if you live in a high rise in New York City, you know, if you love the Western lifestyle and you, it's amazing. I call it the hat factor. And Keith Maddox, the owner of American Hat Company, was checking into the Marriott Grand Marquis in New York City and, you know, walked up to the desk there and said, I have a reservation under the last name of Maddox. And the guy starts typing on the computer, looking it up. Oh, I see it right here, Mr. Maddox. And he looks up and he sees Keith standing there in this beautiful 1000X hat and, a sport coat and dressed to the nines. And he said, oh my God, that's a great looking hat. And Keith said, well, thank you. And he says, I don't see a lot of hats here. He says, well, I can understand that. And the guy said, Mr. Maddox, would you like an upgrade today? And Keith said, well, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. I'd love an upgrade. Guy reaches down, starts typing on the computer some more, and he looks up at Keith. He says, you're going to call me about 15 minutes, and you're going to thank me. And literally, he got the best suite that they had, 3 entrances, all because of his cowboy hat.
Wow.
And I have 4 or 5 stories just like that of wearing a hat and being someplace and somebody wanting to talk to you or somebody befriending you or somebody, you know, striking up a conversation with you about your hat. And, you know, if you take the time and you're nice, you know, I believe in the law of reciprocity. What goes around comes around. And, you know, before you know it, somebody's, you know, taking you to a show or giving you tickets to go do something that you had no idea you were going to go do.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I love what you said about, you know, wear a hat if you live the Western lifestyle or if you love the Western lifestyle. I mean, that is perfect, because so many people are like, they feel insecure about buying their first hat. And I love the way you put that. I'm going to use that.
I don't sell cowboy hats. What I sell is membership into an exclusive club and family heirlooms.
Mm.
So that's what a cowboy hat is. You know, again, I don't, if you have another brand of somebody else's hat on your head, I don't look down on you or think of you any other. Like, I'm like, hey, good job, man. You got a hat. I love that. Love that hat. Mm-hmm. And then anybody in the world can wear a baseball cap. Mm-hmm. Anybody, wherever you go, you got permission to wear a baseball cap. Not everybody gets to wear a cowboy hat. And so you kind of just got to, you kind of got to strike out and do it and find your own style, shape it your own way, make it yours and own it. And you'll find that a lot of favor and a lot of people will treat you differently with a cowboy hat on.
Mm, yes. And you will definitely stand out.
That's exactly right. But like I wear a hat going to the airport. You know, I mean, I wear my hat everywhere. And one of the things that's neat about, I have four grandkids, two girls, two boys, but each one of my grandkids has a hat that it's my hat. I'm wearing it right. You know, I'm wearing the hat these days. On one side is my name made exclusively for Keith Mundy. On the other side is their name and their birthday. And then inside the hat band is a picture of me and them, me wearing that hat and holding them. And we do a special sitting every time we do family pictures of me wearing their hat and with them or holding them. And so when I die, they will have my hats and pictures of me holding them.
That is so neat. I love that idea.
Yeah. So, you know, we have my wife's grandfather's hat and then a picture of him on our buffet table here. And then I have a picture of my grandfather wearing a beautiful hat, but I do not have the hat. I wish I did. So that's why we did that. We just said, you know what? What a personal item to hand down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really neat. I love that. I never heard of that before. So thanks for sharing it.
The hat means something. If you just stop and pause and think about this hat, and it's like a Western story. I mean, you know, it's a shame. So many Western stores don't dedicate more space or time to their cowboy hat business because that is the thing that symbolizes this Western lifestyle that we're in. Mm-hmm. And stores that focus on hats and do a good job at hats, they become a destination. They'll draw people from a couple hundred miles away.
Yeah.
There's thousands of stores that, you know, want to sell boots and jeans and belts and buckles, you know, and bolo ties and wild rags. But if you don't sell or shape a cowboy hat, or if you just sell cookie cutter hats on stacked on a shelf somewhere, then, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that a Western store would do themselves a little bit of a favor if they, you know, learned a little bit more about the hat business.
Yeah. You know, for me, when I look at somebody like we talked about, I feel like I can tell something about them right off the bat by their hat. And it is the most iconic symbol of that there is of the American cowboy, you know, hands down.
It's the one thing truly American, you know, if you think about it. And again, how many songs and how many poems and how many movies and how many books have been written about that iconic, that great symbol, the American cowboy, and all of the hard work and the, you know, his word is his bond and all of those things that when you think of the word cowboy that comes to mind, that hat is the symbol for all of that. And there were people all over this world. There are people who live in Italy and Germany and Japan that just would love to be able to wear a hat. And, you know, how blessed am I that I get to get up every day and put on a cowboy hat and the finest hat in the business and, you know, and go to work. But I don't have to ride 50 miles of fence in a 40 mile an hour wind. So I get the best of all worlds.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has just been awesome. Before we start to wrap up here, where is the best place for people to find more information about you or American Hat Company online?
Well, I mean, obviously we have a Facebook page, American Hat, and then we have a website. It's a bit under construction right now, but there's enough up there that you can see. And then the Maddoxes own a retail store in the stockyards of Fort Worth. So that's always a good source. But then there's just the finer Western retailers will carry American hats. And if your store doesn't carry American hats, you know, ask them. because we find we're finding more, we're opening new accounts every day because we're finding more and more people are walking in and going, hey, do you have the American 5510 or the 6100? And when that retailer says, no, I don't, but I have, and the guy goes, no, that's all right, thanks, I'm good, he's off to the next. That's when the retailer goes, well, I think I better get some American hats, because the fear of losing a sale is, you know, is more of a motivator than actually the fear or the hope of selling. I get retailers ask all the time, well, what, how much is this hat going to cost me? And I kind of look at them puzzled, and I said, what do you mean, how much is it going to cost you? How much is this hat going to cost me? And I said, well, it's not going to cost you anything. You know, you're going to make this much off that hat every time you sell one of them. The right stuff doesn't cost you any money. The wrong stuff costs you money.
Mm-hmm. And the stuff that sits on the shelf is what costs you money.
That's right. You know, so you got to have stuff that turns. And so next time, if you ever interview with me again, at any point in time, you use that on me, because that's what I used on Keith Maddox. When I talked to him, he was like, well, I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I can afford it. And I said, the wrong people are the ones who cost you money. The right people don't cost you anything. And he's, all right, let's give this a try. So,
man, if I'd only had that line all those years ago.
Everything could be different, though. We could still be doing something else or be in Colorado. But I love that I'm in Texas.
I think it's all worked out for the best anyway.
It has. And if I wasn't in Texas, the next place I'd want to be is Montana.
Well, hey, that's a good choice.
I love Montana. I love.
Well, if you ever want to come up and visit and do some fishing or something, I'm here. Just let me know.
Oh, my God. You, now don't invite me if you don't want me to come, because I will show up. I will show up.
You're invited. I'm serious.
One thing I am afraid is not, so I will show up with a fly fishing pole, and yeah, off we'll go.
So I just have one final question for you, and I ask this one of all my guests. So what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
Most important quality of any good cowboy to have. It's your word. You know, your word means something. I'll never forget. It was a sad day when my grandfather told me that a handshake went out with the old West, but there are still people in this industry. Keith Maddox would be the first one. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. And his word, you know, that he has, just earned my loyalty. I mean, I can't say enough good things about both Keith and Susan Maddox, because, you know, the opportunity to be here and to work for a guy like that, that, you know, has been around this industry. I mean, he's pretty well known, but his word means something, and he has a zest for life like nobody I've ever met. So that's my answer.
Well, that's a great answer. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, Keith. This has been a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, and I think that the listeners will too. So I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Well, thanks, Alyssa. I sure appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk about hats. We like hats.
and we all should, because there's nothing better for a cowboy than a hat. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Keith Mundy. He is just an incredible guy, and I'm so glad that we were introduced all those years ago and that we've kept in touch. American Hat Company is a great brand, and if you're interested in checking them out, you can find a link to the website in the show notes for this episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode43. And before we go, I'm looking for bumpers for my show. Now, if you don't know what that means, it's basically like a little intro from you introducing the Earn Your Spurs podcast. So what you do is you go to earnyourspurs.com, you click on the contact tab and click on leave a voicemail. That'll allow you to leave a message for me. So an example, if we're using my guest from today, would be something like, my name's Keith Mundy, president of American Hat Company, and you're listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast with Alyssa Barnes. Something along those lines. So if you'd like to leave me a bumper, just go to earnyourspurs.com/contact and you can leave a voicemail for me.
And if you can use like some earbuds with an attached mic or something that'll make your sound quality a little bit better, that would be great. That's all for today's show. Thank you so much for listening in. I really, really appreciate you for being here, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.